The laughter echoed through the great hall, sharp and cruel. They poured cheap wine over her head, mocking the crimson scar that twisted across her face. "Cursed beast," they sneered. But when the great oak doors shattered open and the Alpha King dropped to his knees, every single person froze. The kingdom of Valerius was not a place of fairy tales. It was a harsh, unforgiving land, ruled by teeth claws and ancient bloodlines. High in the northern crags sat the Ashbourne Pack Keep, a towering fortress of black stone and iron, where the weak were not just ignored, they were actively crushed. At the very bottom of this brutal hierarchy was Rhiannon Locke. Rhiannon was 21 in age, where most she-wolves were courted, mated, and elevated into the inner circles of the pack's society. Instead, Rhiannon spent her days scrubbing the blood-stained flagstones of the hunting pens, and her nights sleeping in a draughty alcove near the kitchens, shivering under a single moth-eaten woolen blanket. But it wasn't her status as an orphan that made her an outcast. It was her face. From her left temple, trailing down across her cheekbone, along her jaw, and disappearing into the collar of her frayed tunic, was a vivid, jagged, crimson mark. It looked like a violent splash of blood, frozen in time, or perhaps a cluster of thorny briars scorched into her flesh. In the superstitious and ruthless Ashbourne Pack, physical anomalies were viewed as a sign of the moon goddess's wrath. They called it the Devil's Touch. "Keep your head down, cursed thing," Alpha Gideon would snarl whenever she crossed his path. Gideon was a massive, brutal man who ruled Ashbourne with a tyrannical grip. He allowed Rhiannon to remain in the keep only out of a twisted sense of charity, and because she was a convenient scapegoat for the pack's cruelest members. The worst among them was Lady Beatrice Gideon's newly chosen mate. Beatrice was undeniably beautiful, with spun gold hair and eyes like polished jade, but her soul was as rot-infested as a stagnant swamp. She despised Rhiannon. Some whispered it was because Rhiannon's mother, before she was exiled and killed by rogues, had once been considered the most beautiful woman in the territory. Whatever the reason, Beatrice made it her personal mission to ensure Rhiannon's life was a waking nightmare. "Look at her," Beatrice scoffed one freezing afternoon in the courtyard. Rhiannon was on her hands and knees, hauling a massive wooden bucket of slop for the hounds. The winter wind howled, biting through Rhiannon's thin, threadbare dress, but she dared not stop working. Beatrice stepped forward, her expensive, fur-lined boots crunching in the snow. She was accompanied by her usual entourage of sycophants. "It's bad enough we have to smell her, but to look at that disease on her face, it makes me sick. Tell me, Rhiannon, does the mark burn when you look in the mirror, or have you learned to navigate the dark like the rat you are?" The surrounding wolves erupted into a chorus of sycophantic laughter. Rhiannon kept her gaze glued to the snow. "Do not engage," she told herself, reciting her daily mantra. "Survive the day. Just survive the day." "I asked you a question, Omega," Beatrice hissed her voice, dropping an octave as her wolf pushed to the surface. She lashed out with a booted foot, kicking the wooden bucket. The heavy receptacle tipped over, spilling cold, putrid meat scraps and dirty water all over Rhiannon's freezing hands and knees. "I do not look in the mirror, my lady." Rhiannon answered, her voice raspy from disuse, but remarkably steady. She slowly began picking up the scraps with her bare, trembling hands. "See that she doesn't," Beatrice commanded the others, a cruel smirk playing on her lips. "If the visiting dignitaries see her hideous face during the grand conclave, they will think Ashbourne harbors disease. Keep her in the kitchens until the king is gone." The grand conclave. The words sent a ripple of anxiety and electric anticipation through the entire keep. For the first time in 3 centuries, the Alpha King of the Supreme Iron Fell Pack was making a royal procession through the Northern Territories. King Cassian, rumors of the king had reached even the darkest corners of the scullery. He was a myth made flesh, a warrior of unparalleled lethality who had conquered the rogue armies of the Eastern Steppes before his 25th year. They said he was merciless, a cold-blooded ruler who demanded absolute perfection from his subjects. More importantly, it was whispered that King Cassian was unmarried, mateless, and growing impatient. He was traveling the kingdoms not just to collect tithes, but to inspect the high-born females of every pack. The pressure on Alpha Gideon was immense. If Beatrice could present a flawless court, and perhaps secure a royal favor or an alliance with the Ironfell generals, Ashborn's power would become absolute. For the next 3 weeks, the keep was in a state of frantic, chaotic preparation. Tapestries were beaten, clean silver was polished until it gleamed like moonlight, and feasts of roasted boar venison and spiced wine were planned. Rhiannon worked until her fingers bled, sleeping only 2 hours a night. Her mark irritated by the sweat and cold throbbed with a strange pulsing heat she had never felt before. On the eve of the king's arrival, Rhiannon was scrubbing the soot from the massive hearth in the great hall when an old servant, Thaddeus, approached her. Thaddeus was the only soul in Ashborn who looked at her with pity rather than disgust. "You should cover it, child," Thaddeus whispered, pressing a clean torn strip of linen into her soot-stained hands. He glanced nervously toward the heavy oak doors to ensure they were alone. "When the Ironfell wolves arrive, their senses will be dialed to the maximum. They are not like us. They are ancient blood. If they see that mark, they might perceive it as a threat." "A threat," Rhiannon murmured, staring at the linen. "It is only a birthmark, Thaddeus. A curse, as Beatrice says." Thaddeus hesitated, his old eyes shifting with a fear he dared not vocalize. "Your mother. She told me once before she died. She told me to tell you that when the time comes, you must never let the mark be seen by a royal. I did not understand it then. I still don't. But promise me, Rhea, keep it hidden." Rhiannon touched the heated skin of her jaw. A strange dread coiled in her stomach. She nodded, tying the linen securely around her lower face and neck, leaving only her exhausted, bruised eyes visible. She didn't know why, but as the distant sound of war horns echoed over the snow-capped mountains, signaling the arrival of the king, the mark beneath the cloth began to burn like raw fire. The earth literally shook when King Cassian's vanguard breached the gates of Ashborn. Rhiannon watched from a high, narrow slit in the scullery tower. Down in the courtyard, hundreds of Ashborn warriors were kneeling in the snow, their heads bowed in total submission. Alpha Gideon, usually a towering figure of intimidation, looked positively dwarfed as he knelt before the royal carriage. The carriage was made of black iron and ebony wood, pulled by 6 massive coal-black draft horses. When the heavy door swung open, the air in the keep seemed to shift. A heavy, suffocating aura of pure, unadulterated power rolled over the castle walls. It was the scent of petrichor, burning cedar and ozone, the smell of a thunderstorm right before the lightning strikes. King Cassian stepped out. Rhiannon's breath caught in her throat. He was a giant of a man, easily standing 6.5 feet tall, draped in a cloak of heavy midnight blue velvet. His hair was dark as a raven's wing, and his jaw was sharp, covered in a shadow of dark stubble. But it was his eyes that terrified and captivated her. They were a piercing, luminescent silver, scanning the courtyard with the predatory boredom of a god looking at ants. She pressed her hand to her throat. Beneath the linen bandage, her mark was practically searing her skin, a violent rhythmic throbbing that matched the heavy footsteps of the king as he walked past Gideon without so much as a second glance. "Get down there!" a harsh voice barked, shattering Rhiannon's trance. The head cook, a stout, cruel woman named Helga, cracked a wooden spoon against the stone wall. "The banquet starts in 3 hours. Beatrice demands all hands in the great hall to serve the wine. And keep that filthy rag on your face, or I'll peel the skin off myself." The great hall was transformed. 1,000 candles blazed in iron chandeliers, casting a warm, golden glow over the long wooden tables, groaning under the weight of excessive feasts. The room was packed with the elite of Ashbourne and the formidable silent generals of the Ironfell Pack. At the high table sat King Cassian, flanked by Alpha Gideon and Lady Beatrice. Beatrice had outdone herself, wearing a gown of emerald silk that clung to her curves, her chest puffed out as she tried desperately to engage the king in conversation. Cassian, however, looked entirely unimpressed. He stared into his silver goblet, his jaw tight, radiating a dangerous boredom. Rhiannon, clad in her ragged servant's tunic and the linen wrap, moved through the shadows. She carried a heavy silver pitcher of mulled wine, her arms trembling from the sheer weight and her exhausting day. She kept her eyes glued to the floor, terrified of meeting the gaze of any of the visiting wolves. The aura in the room was overwhelming. The Ironfell wolves exuded a heavy, oppressive dominance that made her knees want to buckle. "Boy," a low, gravelly voice called out. An Ironfell general, mistaking Rhiannon's frail, wrapped form for a young male servant, held out his empty cup. Rhiannon rushed forward, bowing deeply, and began to pour the steaming red wine. Up at the high table, Beatrice's eyes narrowed. She had specifically ordered Rhiannon to stay in the back, out of sight of the highborns. Seeing the outcast serving a high-ranking royal general infuriated her. Beatrice stood up abruptly, making a show of walking down from the dais to inspect the hospitality. As Rhiannon turned to retreat to the shadows, Beatrice stepped directly into her path. With a subtle, vicious flick of her ankle, Beatrice hooked Rhiannon's foot. Time seemed to slow down. Rhiannon stumbled, pitching forward. She tried to catch her balance, but the heavy silver pitcher slipped from her exhausted grip. It hit the stone floor with a deafening crash, sending a massive spray of dark red, sticky mulled wine flying through the air. The wine splashed directly onto the pristine, pale grey trousers of the Ironfell general. A collective gasp sucked the air out of the great hall. The music screeched to a halt. The lively chatter died instantly, replaced by a horrifying, suffocating silence. "You stupid, clumsy creature," Beatrice shrieked, seizing the moment to play the stern, offended noblewoman. She stepped forward and grabbed Rhiannon by the hair, yanking her head back. "How dare you disgrace my hall in front of our king? I am sorry, my lady. I tripped," Rhiannon gasped, tears of pain pricking her eyes as her scalp burned. "You did not trip, you are just a useless, cursed wretch," Beatrice roared. To the shock of the room, Beatrice raised her hand and delivered a vicious, backhanded slap across Rhiannon's face. The force of the blow sent Rhiannon crashing to the floor, skidding through the puddle of spilled wine. The impact was violent. As she fell, the knot holding her linen bandage snagged on the sharp corner of a heavy oak chair. The fabric ripped, tearing away completely and fluttering uselessly into the puddle of dark wine. Rhiannon gasped, scrambling to sit up, her hands instinctively flying to cover her face. But she was too slow. The crimson mark, the devil's touch, was fully exposed under the blazing candlelight of 1,000 chandeliers. It looked darker, more vivid than ever, sprawling aggressively from her temple, down her delicate neck, contrasting sharply against her pale, frightened face. Mocking laughter immediately bubbled up from the Ashbourne nobles. "Look at the beast!" Someone sneered from the back. A cursed wretch ruining the royal feast. Another laughed, tossing a piece of bread at her. Silence. Gideon bellowed, standing up from the high table, his face flushed with embarrassment. He looked at the king, bowing frantically. My king, a thousand apologies. This is the pack's outcast, a diseased Omega. She will be executed for this insult. Crack. The sound of solid oak splintering echoed like a gunshot. The laughter died in the throats of the Ashborn wolves. At the high table, King Cassian was standing. He had gripped the heavy oak table in front of him so tightly that the wood had snapped under his massive hands. His silver eyes were wide, blown, entirely dark, the pupils completely consuming the irises until they were twin pits of endless, terrifying black. He wasn't looking at the spilled wine. He wasn't looking at Beatrice or Gideon or his general. He was staring directly at Rhiannon's face. More specifically, he was staring at the mark. A low, vibrating growl rumbled from the king's chest. It wasn't a sound of anger. It was a sound of ancient, possessive, earth-shattering shock. It was a sound that made every wolf in the room instinctively drop to their knees, whimpering in sudden, inexplicable terror. The oppressive aura of the king flared so violently that several wine glasses on the tables shattered simultaneously. Cassian didn't walk. He descended from the dais like a predator that had just cornered its ultimate prey. The Ironfell generals, who seconds ago had been relaxed, immediately unsheathed their broadswords, stepping in front of the Ashborn nobles, their faces masks of lethal intent. My king, Gideon started stepping forward trembling. If you speak another word, Cassian's voice was a dark, demonic rasp that didn't sound human. I will rip your spine through your throat. Gideon choked, stepping back, his face draining of all color. Beatrice stood frozen in the spilled wine, her haughty smirk replaced by a mask of sheer panic as the giant king stalked past her as if she were nothing but air. Cassian stopped inches from where Rhiannon was cowering on the floor. She was trembling violently, her hand still trying to cover her face. He's going to kill me, she thought, shutting her eyes tight. The king is going to kill me for insulting his court. Instead of a blade, she felt something else. A massive, calloused hand, radiating intense, blistering heat, gently, so impossibly gently, gripped her wrists, pulling her hands away from her face. Rhiannon let out a terrified sob and opened her eyes. King Cassian had dropped to his knees, right there in the spilled wine. This lethal, terrifying conqueror was kneeling on the floor, ignoring the dirt and the blood, his face mere inches from hers. He reached out his large fingers, trembling slightly, and traced the edge of the jagged crimson mark on her jawline. Where his skin touched hers, sparks of pure, intoxicating electricity shot through her veins. The throbbing pain in her scar vanished instantly, replaced by a warm, golden euphoria. The king closed his eyes and inhaled deeply, taking in the scent of her fear, her sweat, and the underlying sweetness of her blood. When he opened his eyes again, they were locked onto hers, filled with a terrifying mix of reverence, fury, and absolute possession. Mine. The Alpha King whispered the single word echoing through the violently silent Great Hall, like a death sentence to her abusers. The silence that followed the king's declaration was so absolute it felt as though the very air had been sucked from the Great Hall. No one dared to breathe. The word mine hung in the heavy atmosphere, vibrating with an ancient magic that made the stone walls tremble. Rhiannon stared up into King Cassian's eyes, her mind completely blank. The blistering heat from his touch was seeping into her skin, melting away years of bone-deep cold and endless terror. For the first time in her life, the jagged mark on her face did not feel like a rotting curse. Under the king's fingertips, it felt alive. Alpha Gideon was the first to break the paralyzing silence. Driven by a volatile mix of panic and utter disbelief, he scrambled forward, falling to his knees. "My king, please!" Gideon stammered, his voice cracking horribly. "There has been a terrible mistake. Her mind is broken, her bloodline is tainted. That is Rhiannon Locke, a lowly diseased Omega. That mark on her face is the devil's touch. She brings blight to everything she..." Cassian did not raise his voice. He did not even turn his head. He simply shifted his gaze from Rhiannon to Gideon. "General Penhaligon," Cassian said, his voice a low, lethal purr that resonated in the chests of everyone present. From the shadows, a towering, battle-scarred, iron-fell general stepped forward. His sword was already drawn. "Yes, my king. If this false alpha speaks my mate's name again with that filthy tongue, remove his head from his shoulders." Gideon choked his jaw, snapping shut so fast his teeth clicked. He collapsed backward, his eyes wide with a terror so profound he began to shake. Beside him, Lady Beatrice was hyperventilating her emerald silk dress, stained with wine, her perfect features contorted into a mask of pure horror. Cassian returned his full attention to Rhiannon. He reached down, ignoring the puddle of wine soaking into his heavy velvet cloak, and carefully slid his massive arms beneath her frail body. With effortless grace, he lifted her from the cold stone floor, cradling her against his chest as if she were made of the finest, most fragile spun glass. Rhiannon gasped, burying her face into his neck on pure instinct. The scent of petrichor and burning cedar enveloped her, completely masking the stench of the slop and wine. "Dr. Harrison," Cassian commanded, walking slowly toward the high table. A sharp-featured man with wire-rimmed glasses and a dark medical satchel hurried out from the Ironfell entourage. He was the royal physician, a man who dealt in science genetics and absolute reality, grounding the myths of their kind in undeniable biological fact. "Examine her," Cassian ordered, gently placing Rhiannon into his own heavy, fur-lined chair at the center of the high table. Dr. Harrison approached with cautious reverence. He pulled a small, high-powered diagnostic light from his satchel and leaned in, examining the jagged red scar that trailed down Rhiannon's face. He didn't flinch. He didn't look disgusted. Instead, his eyes widened with professional awe. "My king," Dr. Harrison whispered, his voice trembling with sheer excitement. The historical texts, they were accurate. The cellular pigmentation, the localized thermal radiation. It is not a disease nor a curse. He turned to face the terrified crowd of Ashbourne nobles. "You ignorant fools," the doctor sneered, his voice ringing out. "This is no devil's touch. This is the Crimson Briar." A collective gasp echoed from the older wolves in the room, including old Thaddeus, who dropped his serving tray with a clatter. "The Crimson Briar," Dr. Harrison continued, "is a dormant genetic marker. It has not appeared in our species for over 400 years. It is the biological soul mark of the true Lycan Queen, manifesting only on the female whose DNA is perfectly, flawlessly matched to the reigning Alpha King. It is the Earth's way of marking her as untouchable. To mock it is to mock the Moon Goddess herself." Rhiannon's breath caught in her throat. She looked at Cassian, her bruised eyes wide. I am not cursed," she whispered, the tears she had held back for years finally spilling over her lashes. Cassian knelt beside her chair, taking her small, rough, calloused hands in his. "You were never cursed, my beautiful girl," he murmured, his thumb brushing away her tears. "You were just hiding in a kingdom of blind, arrogant fools until I could find you." But as Cassian wiped away her tears, his thumb brushed against something else. The angry red hand-shaped welt blooming on Rhiannon's pale cheek right next to the royal mark. The warmth in Cassian's eyes vanished, replaced instantly by the black, bottomless void of the apex predator. The temperature in the great hall plummeted. The stone beneath his boots actually cracked. Cassian stood slowly. He turned around to face the great hall, his silver eyes locking onto Lady Beatrice. Beatrice let out a high-pitched whimper and scrambled backward on her hands and knees, slipping in the wine. "No, please, I didn't know," she shrieked, tears ruining her painted face. "I thought she was a rogue. I was protecting the pack." "You struck my queen," Cassian said. The words were not shouted, but they hit the room with the force of a physical blow. "I am a noble," Beatrice cried out, looking frantically at Gideon for help. But Gideon was staring at the floor, absolutely paralyzed, abandoning her to save himself. "Nobility is in the blood, not the title," Cassian sneered. "And your blood is stagnant, General Penhaligon." "My king, strip Gideon of his alpha title. He is unfit to lead a pack of feral dogs, let alone my northern borders," Cassian commanded coldly. "Confiscate his lands, his wealth, and his keep. Hand command of Ashbourne over to the elder named Thaddeus. He was the only one in this wretched place with the wisdom to show my mate an ounce of mercy." Thaddeus, standing by the hearth, fell to his knees, weeping in gratitude. "As for this one," Cassian said, stepping toward Beatrice. She cowered, wrapping her arms around her head. "She enjoys the cold. She enjoys the smell of the hunting pens. Let her live there. Lady Beatrice will take Rhiannon's place as the lowest servant of Ashbourne. If she attempts to flee, execute her." "No," Beatrice screamed, kicking and thrashing as two massive Ironfell guards hauled her roughly to her feet, dragging her out of the great hall. Her shrieks echoed down the stone corridors until they were swallowed by the heavy oak doors. Gideon was dragged away, next stripped of his fine furs, his head bowed in ultimate disgrace. The remaining Ashbourne nobles immediately dropped to their knees, bowing so low their foreheads touched to the cold stone, desperately begging for the new queen's forgiveness. Cassian turned back to Rhiannon. The lethal monster vanished, replaced once again by the devoted mate. He unclasped his heavy midnight blue velvet cloak and wrapped it securely around Rhiannon's shivering shoulders, cocooning her in his warmth and his scent. "Are you ready to leave this place?" "Rhiannon," he asked softly, offering her his hand. Rhiannon looked at the opulent hall, at the nobles who had spit on her, kicked her, and starved her now, trembling at her feet. She looked at the spilled wine and the broken pitcher. For 21 years, this stone cage had been her entire world. She placed her small hand into the king's massive palm. "Yes," she said, her voice finally steady. As they walked out of the great hall, flanked by the fearsome Ironfell generals, the crimson briar on Rhiannon's face caught the candlelight. It no longer looked like an angry scar. Flushed with the bond of her true mate, the mark seemed to glow with a faint, iridescent ruby light, intricately beautiful, like a crown woven directly into her skin. Outside, the harsh winter wind had died down. The royal carriage awaited them. Before stepping inside, Rhiannon paused and looked back at the towering black fortress of Ashbourne. She had entered those gates as an unwanted, cursed orphan. She was leaving as the most powerful woman in the world. Cassian pulled her close, kissing the top of her head. "They will never laugh at you again," he promised to the winter sky. And they never did. Did you love this twist of fate? If Rhiannon's journey from a mocked outcast to the revered Lycan Queen kept you on the edge of your seat, hit that like button and share this story with your friends. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more thrilling werewolf romances, epic betrayals, and destined mates. drop a comment below telling us what you would have done to Beatrice Tern on notifications so you never miss a new dramatic tale.